What a glorious thing it is, beloved, to gather in God's house on Sunday to worship Him. I trust that you look forward to the Lord's Day when you can be with your brothers and sisters and with your family, your spiritual family, the Lord. This is why the Lord founded the church, His family, so that you and I might be refreshed spiritually as we come together. Let us pray. We thank you for this glorious Lord's Day, our Father, for the opportunity we have to be here to share with our brothers and sisters the worship service that we offer to you, because you alone are worthy of our worship and our praise and our glory and our honor and our lives. All that we have comes from you, our Father. The clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, the families that we have, the friends that we enjoy, the freedom that we know, the opportunities we have to serve other people. The wonder of coming to know what your love means, of experiencing that love and of being able to share that love with others. May that be so this very day as we come to you now, our Father, to look at this wonderful story of this young woman, a foreigner, who was taken under your wing and adopted into your family and is one of the women of faith that we look to in the Bible. Teach us lessons today that will change our lives, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we discovered the depth of Ruth's love for her mother-in-law, Naomi, and we saw the amazing lengths to which that love had compelled her to go. She left her country and her family and her friends. She abandoned her pagan idols. She accepted wholeheartedly the God of her mother-in-law, and now she is ready to adopt the customs of a new country, Israel, as her own. All of this she had done for love of Naomi, her mother-in-law. Now, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law have arrived in the land of Israel to begin a new life, having left their husbands behind them, buried in the ground of a foreign land, and many painful experiences which they had left behind as well. It's a new beginning for both of these women. This morning we want to see the results of Ruth's love for her mother-in-law, and at the same time we want to see the very important role that the providence of God plays in the lives of those who love Him and trust in Him. The providence of God is something we don't talk about enough, I don't think, but it's one of the wonderful truths of Scripture. We hear a lot of talk these days about love, how important it is to love others, what it means to make love, whatever that is. And yet, do we really understand what the word means or how we are to express true love? I'm not so sure that we do, beloved. I don't believe we really understand what it means to love someone. I'm convinced that the true meaning of love is being twisted today and that we are encouraged to have a false expectation, to have false expectations of what love is supposed to be all about and is supposed to produce and what we're supposed to get out of it. The book of Ruth shows us in a very simple way what true love really is. That leads us to the question we want to consider this morning. What does it mean to love someone, beloved? The book of Ruth answers that question by saying it means to serve them. That's a simple definition. To love equals to serve. It means serving without expecting to get anything in return, without asking the question, what will I get out of this? Ruth doesn't proclaim her love by using great words, even though the words contained in the first chapter have been immortalized in the wedding ceremony. She shows her love by simply serving. She volunteers to go out and to find a job to support them, herself and Naomi. Without Naomi ever having asked her to do so, she recognizes their need and proceeds to do something about it. She doesn't discuss their situation, argue about who has what responsibility or who needs to be doing what. She simply asks the question, please let me go to the fields and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. I confess to you, beloved, that every time I read the book of Ruth, I'm ashamed. Her example makes me ashamed. How many times do you and I argue about who will do what, hoping to get out of as much responsibility as possible? I can remember when I was a child, I was the oldest of six kids. I can remember all the arguments we had. Oh, no, it's not my turn, it's his turn. I mean, you know, Mama, you called on him last time. No, it's you. No, no, no. We're always arguing, disputing. Beloved, things ought not to be like this. We who are Christians should have a servant's heart like Jesus Christ did. We ought to be motivated by compassion and be ready to serve those who need us. Jesus told us to love one another, and he said that the greatest, that is, those who have the most, should serve the least, that is, those who have the least. Do we follow his example? Do we follow the example of Ruth in this beautiful book? Let me start out by telling you something astonishing. We will do like this more and more if we are truly Christians, beloved, if we have truly been born again. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's how a Christian is identified. They will know you are Christians by your love. We sing that hymn, and we ought to sing it regularly. First of all, this morning we want to examine the example of Ruth. We don't know if Ruth was a country girl or not. We don't know. The text doesn't tell us whether she was raised on a farm or born in the city. All we know is that it was the beginning of the barley harvest. And Ruth undertook a task, a difficult task, that she probably didn't know very much about how to do. Why? Because her mother-in-law and she needed to eat. Neither of them had a job. They had come back home from a foreign country with their husbands dead. And they didn't know what waited for them there in the home country. But on top on top of all of that, to glean in someone else's field was the same thing as begging. It was a humiliating thing to be obliged to ask permission to do so. But Ruth did so. Why? Because she loved her mother-in-law. Because this is what love does. Her love pushed her to do something without counting the cost. This leads me to ask us a question, to ask you a question, myself a question. Do we serve joyfully those we love without having selfish thoughts? Are we ready to render service when we notice a need without discussing it or asking ourselves what we can get out of the situation or trying to get out of the possibility of being engaged? To serve those we love, in short, to be a servant, is what it really means to love, beloved, in the sense that the Bible talks about love. And if you will examine your Bible from one end to the other, you will discover that this lesson is taught on almost every page. To love is to serve. Ruth was in the fields from early morning and until late in the evening, gleaning barley every day. The text says of Ruth, she has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. We see from the text that Ruth was a hard worker who gave herself fully to the task. During the day, she was invited by Boaz to eat with the other workers, but even there, she thinks of Naomi because she saved part of her meal to give to Naomi after she got home. What a good example for us Ruth is, beloved. Secondly, this morning we want to look again, as we did last week, at the providence of God. Let us notice the hand of God in this touching story. God's providence arranges things so that Ruth just happens to pick the field of a close relative of Naomi's, a rich man named Boaz. If you take note of your own life, and if you'll take notice from time to time, you'll notice that things just happen in your lives, and you wonder, what on earth did that happen for? And many times, it's not until a long time afterwards that that was God working in my life. That was God that led me into that situation. I didn't plan it. I didn't prepare for it. I didn't pray about it. It just happened. Oh, no, it didn't. God's providence at work. From the text, we learn that Boaz is a man of compassion, sensitive to the needs of others. He was quick to notice the devotion of Ruth and was deeply moved by the needs of these two women who were alone and evidently had so many needs. Boaz was a man of some importance in the town of Bethlehem, and as we see from the text, he knew what was happening in his town. He was aware of the story of Naomi and Ruth, and he knew all that Ruth had done for her mother-in-law. Verse 12 is particularly moving and touches the heart of our message today. When Boaz says to Ruth, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." That prayer of Boaz is going to be fully realized, as we will see later on in a later message. Now, Boaz gives instructions to his servants. He gives them the instruction to permit Ruth to glean wherever she wants in his field. That was very unusual. Usually they say, well, you follow after the reapers and so forth, and whatever falls down on the ground and extra and so forth. He says, let her glean wherever she wants to glean. And he instructs them to help her, to let some of the stalks fall where she can find them and pick them up easily. In addition, Boaz invites her to eat with him and his servants to come at the mealtime. And he invites her to come whenever she's thirsty to drink out of the water that was there and drawn for those who are working in the fields. We see that Ruth couldn't have picked out a better place in all of the country of Israel to work. She tells Naomi when she gets home, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. Don't go anywhere else, my daughter. Stay right here where you'll be protected and where you'll have all the opportunities that you need, and you'll be able to gather all that you need for you and Naomi's welfare. So she continues to work to the end of the barley and the wheat harvest, taking home what is needed to support herself and Naomi. This teaches us something that all of the Bible does, if we know it well. God always blesses the faithfulness of his children. He tenderly watches over us in everything we do and is ever seeking ways to encourage us in the way of obedience. He arranges everything for our good and sees that everything that touches us leads to our growth in grace. Even the negative things and the difficult things, personal tragedy, all of these things are intended by God for our good. All things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's one verse you ought to memorize. That's Romans 8:28. So you see, beloved, you and I cannot be in better hands. No one could love us more or take better care of us than our Heavenly Father does. No one. Personal tragedy brought Naomi and Ruth back to the promised land so that they might discover the benediction of God in the accomplishment of his eternal purposes in their lives. So now Ruth and Naomi have found a secure future. They have been taken under the wings of one of the important leaders of Bethlehem. We'll talk more about this in the weeks to come. But thirdly, this morning, and finally, we want to talk a little, we want to examine for a moment the way of the Lord for each of us. The way that God intends to work in your lives and in mine. Jesus himself gave us an example to follow in the 13th chapter of John's Gospel when he did an unheard of thing. You remember in the 13th chapter where Jesus comes, he takes off his outer cloak, he puts a towel around his waist and he goes around, he picks up a bowl of water, and he tells his disciples to sit down, and he goes around and he begins to do what only a servant did. He begins to wash their feet. And you remember how Peter reacted. He said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Oh, no, 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 no. A servant should do that. No, no, no. And Jesus said to him, He had to rebuke Peter, if you remember. He said, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. You can't be my disciple. You can't follow me if you don't allow me to wash your feet." And then Peter, of course, he goes off the deep end. "Oh, well, not only my feet, my head. You want to give me a whole bath?" You know, but that was Peter. On this particular occasion, Jesus asked his disciples, "Do you understand what I have done for you? Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet, as I have given you an example. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I've been in a worship service several times where foot washing took place. That doesn't normally happen in Presbyterian churches. But I can remember several times when it was 100% appropriate for that to take place in front of the congregation. Washing of feet was the most menial job that you could do back in the days of Jesus. You know why? Because feet were always dirty. Our feet are dirty and smelly these days, but back in those days, everybody wore sandals, and the streets were dusty and dirty. And you know, when you went to visit somebody, if they were as they were supposed to be, the first thing they would offer is to have your feet washed. They would have a servant at the door, if they had servants, who would wash your feet so that you would be comfortable in the home when you came in. Or if they didn't have servants, they would do it themselves. Or they would have the means there so that people that came into their home could wash their feet and feel comfortable in the home. In the very same chapter that where Jesus washes the disciples' feet, Jesus speaks of the love the disciples are to have for one another. He said, "Love one another as I have loved you." The way of the kingdom, beloved, then, and all of the Bible teaches this, is not to exalt ourselves or to be served by others, but rather is to humble ourselves and to serve others, taking the lowest place and leaving it to the Lord to defend our rights. But oh, how hard it is to do that. Isn't it so, beloved? We're born sinners, and our first instinct is to defend our rights, because we're afraid that if we don't, we'll be left out in the cold. The Apostle Paul warns us in Galatians 5, 13 and 14, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as you love yourself." Let us recognize, then, as I've already indicated, that it's a delicate and fragile thing to live together in a family. It takes a lot of effort and patience. It's necessary to develop the habit of thinking of others before yourself. It's sometimes necessary to forget what I want and to humble myself. Sometimes I even need to apologize and say I'm sorry. That's what families are for, beloved. to learn how to live with other people and to take into account their needs and to learn to be unselfish. Who is capable of doing all of this all of the time? You and I are capable of doing it, beloved, with the help of the Lord. And that's what our calling as Christians is all about, beloved. Let us pray and ask God to help us to put such a program, His program, into action. To love one another. To serve one another. I hope you'll be back with us next week as we continue our study in the book of Ruth and we continue to learn other lessons for our daily walk with the Lord. I close with probably the most important or the most well-known verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the Christian life is all about, beloved. To learn and receive, to learn about and to receive God's love, and then to allow our lives to become the instrument of His loving others through us. Let us pray. Father, we're humbled as we look at the example of Ruth, this humble servant girl who shows us more about the love of Christ. We pray that You would help us, Lord, to follow her example, to love as she loved, and to become like Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen.